certain since this is my first time. So if I am, I am. Hi, this is Jack Mullen, and I'm certainly happy and a bit excited to be with you today on the Power Hour and spending some time with the good folks. Enjoyed Scott's piece before this, and I always enjoy coming on when Brother George is on, but today would be my first time hosting the show. And if you don't know who I am, you can look me up at several places. TheGovernmentRag.com, primary source of information there, including a listing of the things that I've written and the other wonderful writers there, including Stephanie Sledge, who's coming up a little later in this broadcast to talk to me. Also, we have a site called blog.thegovernmentrag.com, and George Frund is an author there as well, and he gets a lot of articles out, so if you enjoy following him, he's available there too. And that's a site where we put some things up a little faster than on the governmentrag.com in case something comes up immediately, it goes up there. But nonetheless, those are some of the places that you can look me up. I've been on the Power Hour a number of times over the past, I don't know, 7 or 8 years. I think it was 2014 was the first time I was on with Joyce, and she had me on the show to talk about, I think, an article I wrote, which I think is still one of my better articles, about Skynet and Skynet's launch. And it was suggested that Skynet would launch October of 2013, I think. So this would have been early in 2014, if memory serves. But anyway, I wrote an interesting article there that sort of related the launch of Skynet with the predictive material that was available in a book called The Age of Spiritual Machines. And I'm just suddenly blanking out on Ray Kurzweil. Yeah, Ray Kurzweil's name. Anyway, in that particular book, Age of Spiritual Machines, Kurzweil went into some technical detail about what would be required in terms of computing power and also available memory, you know, things like RAM and hard disk space, et cetera. And then the kind of speeds that be required for the computers to speak to the memory and hard disk, et cetera. And they used a similar terminology in an article I had read at the time about this data center that was going to open up someplace in Utah that was going to be part of Homeland Security. Anyway, they used almost the exact same terminology from that description in Kurzweil's book, and that just struck me as like bingo. Skynet comes online. So anyway, that was my first time on the Power Hour. Today is a little different day. It's day before Election Day, and trying to decide what I was going to talk about. I have so many things to discuss here. I was just out not too long ago running around, and I was speaking to some people. They were talking to me about yesterday being Halloween and how they attempted to go about their day in a normal fashion. And still in America, we still have an opportunity, at least in the rural areas where I live, to try to live our life in a sort of a normalized, you know, what we're used to fashion. And even though I don't think much of the idea of Halloween anymore after I understand what it's really all about and how harmful it is to many people, most of the rural type Americans see it as some sort of fun day where kids get to dress up and run around and collect some candy. And of course, even the candy itself is pretty much garbage. But nonetheless, kids still like to dress up and people try to do that. And I was told that the populations of children that were out was far or vastly reduced. And so I guess today I want to talk a little bit about the nature of the world that we live in today. Talk a little bit about deception. Deception is the primary force in our civilization. It's certainly in our culture, but it's in fact a worldwide problem that we're being deceived almost with everything that we take as truth or knowledge. And that's something that I've become aware of over the last 10 years of studying pretty hard. And I'm not going to pretend that I know everything, nor do I want to speak as though I know everything. I just have some gut feelings that led me to down various roads in terms of education. And so, you know, I see America right now in a situation where we are the last nation that has the chance to stop what is facing humanity over the coming next 3.5-4 years. And we certainly are what what could be called a bifurcation point, a place where things radically change and have the opportunity to go at least two different ways. And the first way would be the way that I would hope it would go, because it represents the fact that even though we're living in crazy and terrible times in terms of violence to the mind, the eyes, the ears, a variety of different tyrannical systems now becoming part of our reality, we also have a chance to learn something that we could never have learned before. And there's a breakout of knowledge and information that's able to, and if it can spread far and wide, it will be able to release humankind from the tyranny that they've been suffering since whatever amount of time our recorded history is. Another thing that I think now is partly based on a high level of political fabrications. And so we're not really sure exactly what happened in history, because all we get are books written by people who had the facilities to write these books. Typically that would be the wealthier class of people, and they had access to distribution, et cetera. So we're getting their story. But regardless, we're living in a time now where knowledge is becoming, there's an amazing amount of understanding and truth coming out from various sources, people working around the clock. And new things come to me every single day. I don't wake up any day where I don't learn something new, and that I'm not excited to keep going and try to understand what's really happening in this civilization. And so I think that, you know, that's the good side of this situation. We have an opportunity to learn, and learning means putting away your preconceived notions. It means going through something you don't really believe to start with, to try to get a feeling for what it really means by putting down your guard and letting your body talk to you about how it feels. You know, one of the interesting things that I've learned recently in my life is that, you know, we have basically two competing entities that reside inside of our own self. One of them being what I would call the immortal soul, the person that became you from wherever it is we go back to. And then we have our body, and our bodies are a part of this world. They live here and can live probably nowhere else. This world was designed to sustain this body, and this world was is complementary to this body. This body is similar to everything else in this world. It is a life form made up of cells. It is a complex system itself. It has its own memory, and it has its own capabilities to think and to reason. And maybe not directly communicate, maybe it does, but depending on certain levels of either whether you're tired or under the influence of certain types of drugs, et cetera, it may have a voice more so than other times. But the interesting thing about your body is it is what gives you your emotions, and it speaks to you in emotions, and it gives you anxiety when you need anxiety, and it gives you fear when you may need fear, and it helps you. It helps you understand the world you live in. So learning about things in this world means incorporating the sort of things you get back from your body in terms of how it feels about what it is that you're learning. And I know that most people educated today in our public school systems, and especially in the colleges too, their knowledge has become severely tainted, and it is basically indoctrination. And it's easy for me to say that now, but it wasn't easy for me to say that when I was in it. And it wouldn't be easy for me to say, for example, if I happened to be, you know, a college professor trying to teach something like history or most of the sciences or some medical knowledge, et cetera. But all of these things now I have discovered have been modified and are propagandized to present a unified system of thought that helps people go down a path that has primarily led us to where we are today. And one of the primary problems with the educational system is that it doesn't teach people to think, to question, to feel like they have a right to ask questions without concern for how someone else might interpret their question, you know, without feeling embarrassment or fear of speaking. And those are things that are extremely important, because we live in a world today where it's very difficult for most people, especially Europeans. I'm not certain about, I'm more certain about other races being able to stand up for themselves than I am for European-based white races, as they seem to be the most susceptible to certain types of ongoing trauma-based mind control, basically just forms of mental abuse through mind control. And it is a weakness. It is a weakness where people become unable to trust themselves, believe in what they think they know, but can't be sure. How can we be sure of everything? We can't. We can only be sure of the things that we can prove and that we've had time to prove, and that we get some feedback from the world that which we live in, that our theories are correct. And so it's not terrible at all to be wrong. It's certainly not terrible to question. And it is interesting that at this confluence in time between the forces of good and evil, we have come to a point where it is becoming uncomfortable for people to question certain things that they are seeing in their lives. And that speaks, you know, volumes to the problem of people living today in a world where they're told to wear a mask, where they're told to social distance, where they're told that there is something out there that they can't see, they can't feel, they can't really observe, but they should be afraid of it. This is the sort of thing that, you know, was the basis for the idea of the story or the children's book, perhaps, The Emperor's New Clothes. You know, it was a story about something you couldn't see, touch, couldn't smell, unless the people themselves smelled bad. But these were clothing that you were told were being worn by the nobles, and they didn't exist. And today we live in a world that's very similar to that. It has a lot of reverberation or rhyming with that story. We live in a world of something called a virus that we have been told is a communicable something. We know it's not alive. We can't see it, can't touch it, can't readily see it even under a microscope unless you happen to have a really powerful electron microscope. Then somebody can show you something that they say is a virus. But none of this stuff leads to any kind of real feeling of this thing exists. And it is very strange that our lives are now being totally controlled by something that we can't see, touch, smell, and we can really not see any effect, because we're told that people are getting sick from this virus, and we're told that people are dying from this virus. But when we do just a little bit of research, we come to find out that that may not be true at all. And this is one of the places where I want to speak to people about actually having the ability to think. Thinking being very important in this situation, because how many people do you know that can tell you they know somebody that's died of coronavirus? Now, I know that the CDC, which is a private corporation funded primarily by its profits from its own patents that are related to vaccines or vaccine patents themselves, so they really have a conflict of interest in talking to us about taking vaccines and what may or may not be good for us. But they publish data on what they say is the deaths caused by the coronavirus. And these numbers, I'm only going by some stuff that I read in August, but they had the number in the vicinity of 200,000 people in the United States dying. Somewhere around August 31st, they came out with a paper saying that even though we said 186,000 people were dead, I believe at that time, 94% of those had died from complications other than the coronavirus. And in reality, when you begin to look at it, you see, well, these were people that were already at the average lifespan age, and they had very significant comorbidities, things like cancer and severe cases of pneumonia, et cetera. A lot of people, not the majority, but a number of them died from things like motorcycle accidents and gunshot wounds. And so what we find out is that, in fact, they just told us there were that many people dying from the coronavirus. But when they sucked out all the people that died of other things, now we're down to something like 9,000 people. So at the same time, you know, it would be prudent then for a thinking person to get some gauge about how many people are dying overall from all causes, so that we could see if there were, you know, a rise in the total number of deaths in over the period of time 2020 compared to, say, 2019, 2018, 2017. And so I wrote a paper recently that was designed to be handed out. It's also an article, and you can find it on the blog and thegovernmentrag.com, called "Isn't It Time We Stop Pretending There Is a Pandemic?" And in that article, you know, I try to make the point that a pandemic would be something that would have to have a mass casualty rate. And when we're shown pandemic movies on television or at the theater, we are shown situations where people are dying, you know, just en masse. People are walking down the streets and they fall down. Whole families. And so it's a situation that we don't see today. We don't see people dying like crazy. What we do see is people dying of normal diseases at the normal age. The average age of the death of a person from coronavirus in Australia, for example, is 82 and a half years of age. And their lifespan in Australia is 82. The average age of the person's, you know, of a person dying is 82 years of age in Australia. So we find these people are dying anyway. So I did the research and looked at the number of deaths in 2019, 18, and 17 based on weeks, number of deaths per week. That data is actually available. You have to search for it a little bit. I found my sources were the CDC and the World Health Organization. And we find out that in the number of deaths in the United States is approximately in the neighborhood of between 50 and 57,000 people a week. And the interesting thing was that the largest number was in 2018, which was 56,000 people per week. And the rest of the years were in the neighborhood of 54,000, with the exception of 2020. And the number is at 51,000. So those numbers were calculated through August 31st, 2020, by week. So we can see that 51,000 versus 54-something and another 54-something in 2017 and 2019 and 56,000 in 2018. So I can then decide that, you know, there must not be some ravaging pandemic because the overall death rate, a number of people dying of all causes, is down by 7% over the average of the last 3 years. And that's the sort of thing then that can lead us into the questioning about the reality of what is actually happening to the people of the world in this so-called coronavirus pandemic. And from that, then I can lead into questions about, well, can you tell me some more about this virus itself? And then we can find articles written by the CDC that say they admit that there was no gold standard for COVID-19 virus isolate. And according to their article, since no qualified virus isolates of the 2019 COVID-19 virus are currently available, assays, which they put in brackets, diagnostic test, designed for detection of the 2019 RNA COVID-19 virus were tested with characterized stocks of in vitro transcribed full-length RNA genetic material. So, in other words, when you read this, you realize that they don't have anything that actually represents the gold standard for a virus. And so, therefore, it can't meet what are known as Koch's postulates, which are a set of questions that you typically have to have answered properly in order to define something as a virus. And one of Koch's postulates is you have identified the virus, and it must be present in every case of a specific disease. With the CDC telling us straight up they weren't able to identify the virus, so they substituted another, we can say that that one wasn't satisfied. We should number two on the list of Koch's postulates would be we would be able to get a purified virus, and it would be uniquely identifiable. Again, that has then been thrown out by the CDC. We should also be able to find that we could grow this virus in a laboratory conditions, but viruses are not alive, so they can only exist inside the body. And we should say that see the same symptoms in each. And of course, in the case of this imaginary or we can't see phantom menace, we notice that there are many, many thousands of people that are being so-called tested, and they are testing positive for COVID-19 with no symptoms at all. And they never generate any symptoms. So, in fact, are they actually sick, or do they present with any symptoms at all of a sick person? No. And so now we're being told that even though you are not sick and you can tell that you're not sick, that you in fact are sick, which itself is a bit of trauma-based mind control. Anyway, I'll be back with Stephanie Sledge, and we'll have lots more of interesting things to talk about.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
What in the world is this crazy Willard water?
It's a proprietary solution, and it's a water additive that was invented by my grandfather, Dr. John Willard, and hence the name Willard Water. Boosts a number of different things. We see most prominently that it's increasing the absorption, utilization, and storage of nutrients in the cells. So, for example, if people were drinking, we see a big boost in B vitamin absorption utilization. If you see it in plants, we see a big boost in their ability to absorb and retain fertilizers or nutrients in the soils. Big we see with things like microbes. If you used a microbe on soil, for example, to replenish the soil, and you sprayed our Willard water on it, go through that replenishing cycle much faster.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is miracle too, and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors, and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If you eat your Manna food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
With me is my friend and partner, Stephanie Sledge of thegovernmentrag.com. She invented the government rag, and she's managed to keep it alive for, what did you, it was just the 10-year anniversary, right, the other day, Stephanie?
11 years.
11 years, yes. I'm sorry, I messed that up. But anyway, that's incredible because you know how many people start something, you know, and then over the year, how many have we seen ourselves of alternative media that try to start some platform and then it, you go to search for something, they're gone. And so I find that quite impressive. And so if you folks haven't been to thegovernmentrag.com, you'll see something that's still a work in progress and has an amazing history. And the person who built that herself has an amazing history, and you can read about her there and see things about her two books that she's written. She's an investigative journalist. And Stephanie, you know, we were talking there just a second before we came on about what it is we might want to talk about. As you know, I have too many things that I want to talk about, and so you know, it's up to you if you decide that you just have something you need to say. I mean, we're going to talk a little bit about this election, but you know, when we think about this coronavirus thing, it's just, there's just so much there to talk about. And these lockdowns and the lockdowns that are going around the world right now, mostly in Western based countries. And you told me that, you know, so far we haven't seen a major lockdown in the United States, but you saw a tweet from Paul Watson. And what was that about?
Well, I was checking my Twitter account, and first of all, I'd like to thank the Power Hour Nation for letting us both on today, and it's always an honor, and I am happy to be here with you, Jack. As far as the tweet goes, Paul Joseph Watson had tweeted out that there were unconfirmed reports that there might be a total travel lockdown following the elections through December 1st, and so, you know, that raises a little bit of a question as to what might happen after the elections. And of course it is unconfirmed, but as we know with what's happening with the background with Black Lives Matter and the left versus the right, you know, we just don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, for it to be a lockdown, it wouldn't surprise me actually at all.
No, it wouldn't surprise me because it's got to come to America in a different form than it did to those poor unfortunates in Australia, in Melbourne, who are living under house arrest, under the control of psychopaths, who just recently passed legislation at the national level permitting foreign troops to enter Australia, probably Chinese, if necessary in a time of medical emergency, and they've been authorized to shoot to kill Australians who impede their necessary emergency work during this awful pandemic that we can't see, hear, touch, feel. And we can also acquire with no symptoms or feelings as well. So this has all the hallmarks of a tyranny never before seen in human history. Would you agree?
Well, at least in this time anyway, you know, I think what you said earlier in the show about, you know, the past of humans and our immortal souls and our bodies, you know, those are all correct, and it feels right. And so I, as far as this lifetime, you know, other than all the lies that we've been told about the wars we've been in and all that, I haven't seen anything this, you know, of this magnitude as far as a worldwide lockdown. And I think it is going to get worse. There are people that are posting on my Facebook page anyway, that are in different rural communities. Here in West Virginia and the Maryland area, they've been to Walmart just this past weekend, and even their food supply is diminishing. And so I think not only are we looking at being lied to about this pandemic, but I also think that, you know, we're not being told about, you know, the supply, the food chain, and I think that's something that we should be very concerned about, especially following the elections, going through the winter.
I agree. And I think that, you know, one of the platforms of this pretended coronavirus, which has been actually in development for quite some time and has been written about, you know, even as early as 2001, but later in 2010 with the Rockefeller Foundation paper, and the section of it was called Lockstep, where they planned to simulate, or they were giving thought to the idea that a some sort of virus could be used to manipulate people into a situation where they were under much more control by the governing entities. And then, of course, in 2019, in October, we saw Event 201, the scripted version of today's exact scenario being done by the Gates Foundation, Johns Hopkins University, the World Economic Forum. They put on this little simulation tabletop exercise, they called it, where they actually produced the same scenario and called it the same thing. We see Netflix was out with a film in January called Pandemic, and in it they have COVID-23. And I've only became aware of this yesterday when I saw the trailer of it. But when you see the trailer, if you do now, you'll be blown away by the fact that they already had all the info on how this pandemic, quote, was going to proceed and what it'll be like as we go forward. And so I think you're correct. Now, what do you think is going to happen as people vote tomorrow and come home and we start to hear maybe something about voting anomalies?
Well, I think that the elections, everybody this year is, you know, they have basically divided the nation into, you know, a left and a right. Are you going to take the left pill? Or are you going to take the right pill? And that's also a fake paradigm. And, you know, it actually really hurts me inside to see people believe in this paradigm that is actually a fake reality. And, you know, I'm going to be the minority here. You know, I guess versus the wonderful guest that we're on earlier. And I do not have much faith in Trump, nor do I have faith in Biden. I don't take the left-right pill. I take the translucent pill. And, you know, I've discovered that, you know, we are being duped even in the election area. And in the 4 years that Trump has been president, you know, all I've seen him do is push us into more in the possession of Israel. And, you know, there's also a war going on behind the scenes, you know, Christian versus people that are Christian Zionists. And, So I don't have much faith in the elections. I think that if Trump wins, which I believe he will, because he is the spokesperson, you know, to bring America into the new world order, you know, and but if they have everybody divided, you know, over Biden and pedophilia and, you know, so I think people are watching a soap opera, Days of Our Lives. This is, you know, meanwhile, behind the scenes is the elaborate group that is swiping away the world's freedoms of every person that lives here. So that's my take on it. What about you, Jack? Jack, are you there?
Mike. Anyway, thank you for bringing me back to turn my mic on and also to talk a little bit about exactly what you just had to say. I mean, we hear a lot of support for Trump from the Christian right, the so-called Christian Zionists, you know, the evangelical churches, those that ended up under the yoke of that Bible that was constructed in the 1890s, Zionist money. It's called the Scofield Reference Bible, which was designed to create notes in the side of the Bible that then were turned later into full-fledged copies of a real Bible that modified the King James Version. These people have a different viewpoint of the Judeo-Christian heritage that we supposedly live under. But Chuck Baldwin, who's been a guest of mine for a number of times, had an article just out about the election, and he said Americans' problems are not political. And in that article, you know, he suggested that not only are pastors and Christians willing to enthusiastically support an immoral reprobate like Donald Trump, but they actually believe this immoral reprobate is Americans' only hope. He's Americans' only answer, and he's God's salvation for our country. But later on in the article, he goes on to explain how this isn't the case, that Trump has not done any of the things that he promised to do, you know, during his 4 years here, that he's somebody that's dropped more bombs than anyone else. You know, we hear this thing that Trump hadn't started any wars. According to Dr. Baldwin's article, he drops a bomb every 12 minutes. He's dropped more bombs and missiles on the Middle East in a comparable period of time than any modern United States president. Bush, Obama, and now Trump have dropped over 300,000 bombs over Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Libya, Pakistan, Yemen, and Somalia. All of these happen to be enemies of Israel. And it continues today. And we know that, you know, he's escalated the financial and military support for warmongering Zionist state of Israel. And we know that they have murdered untold thousands of innocent Palestinians, and, both Christians and Muslims throughout the Middle East. So, so it really is a situation where it is a spiritual war. We have true Christians who are able to understand that there was never any such cooperation between Jews and Christians that would lead to a world where the Christians would, you know, help them take over and then control the entire planet. We know that true Christians versus Christian Zionists have an entirely different viewpoint, because the Christian Zionist viewpoint has been tainted. And that includes some 44 million Americans that have received their Christian education through schools like Liberty University and the Scofield Bible. And so anyway, I agree with you there. I think that Biden himself is reprehensible. I believe that he is a moral degenerate. He's also a lying psychopath. He's a psychopath in the sense that he has basically no empathy or emotional content that is disturbed by telling lies that are would embarrass a normal person, you know, to the point of probably going and shooting themselves. Biden is now mentally incompetent because he's senile, although we're seeing likely body doubles during the debates. And, of course, his family history of crime, his son's recent exposure as a pedophile and a drug user, and also an agent that is functioning as an intermediary between United States business in China, which is illegal, is something that is just a travesty. And so the choices tomorrow are really none. I mean, what's going to be different? I don't know. I don't think much will be different. On jamesfetzer.org, there's a really good article today by Kevin Barrett, Does the Presidential Election Matter? And I think that that's one of the better articles that I'd seen Barrett write recently regarding the situation here. And the thing is that it probably doesn't matter at all. It will change the way white Americans perceive the future quickly, because things will change for them faster than they would if Trump were to remain in office for 4 years. But we can still expect what you just said, Stephanie, which is the decline in the food supply. We've seen 164,000 businesses close in the last 6 months. 100,000 those businesses have no plans to return. 22 or more million jobs have been lost. 20% of small businesses down 20% overall in the year. We're seeing unemployment hitting really the lower and middle class very, very hard, with quadrupling in their unemployment. Most people's savings have been taxed. And now they're fighting over whether they're going to hand out any more socialized money, which is part of the destruction of the currency. They're moving us into a digital currency. We can see that BlackRock is involved with the Federal Reserve, both private corporations, both for profit, both pretending to be, or at least the Federal Reserve pretending to be part of the federal government, nationalizing all of the American assets, with almost 36% of American mortgages belonging to those two corporations, which means they own your property. And so now the Great Reset, as we are told, is going to fix that. They're going to forgive your debt and allow you to return to some sort of real life, except that you're going to have to give up the right to own private and public property. And so you'll own nothing. You'll be given a guaranteed basic income. You'll be put on a social credit system where if you don't behave properly, your basic income will go down until eventually you start to starve. In the meantime, the food supply will be dwindled, so starvation will potentially eliminate quite a few people anyway. According to Deagle.com, Americans are supposed to lose 70% of their population between now and 2025. So that doesn't paint a very, very happy picture going forward, no matter who wins, correct?
Well, that definitely is correct. And as you were speaking, I was thinking that everything that you were just saying is as an investigative journalist, it reminds me of an X-File. And, you know, we are living in the world that the X-Files told. It was something that we needed to pay very close attention to. And when you were talking about Biden earlier, you know, he to me seems like, you know, a man that was presented on the X-Files that has been taken over by the black slick elemental. And when I see Biden, I think of that, because we do live in a world where, you know, we don't know who to trust. We don't know if the person that we're looking at is real, that person, or if that person is a body double. And I agree with everything that you said about everything about the elections. And you know, we live in uncertain times. And, you know, Trump himself put us into this public-private partnership and declared war on China. So, you know, it's not surprising that we're going to see a food shortage. It means a lot of our food did come from China. And that's why they, you know, basically down the entire hotel restaurant industry first. And that was because, you know, with the war on China, as far as food supply goes, you know, a lot of the restaurants here purchase from global companies, distributing companies that are having a food shortage right now because of it. So, this is scary times. And, you know, but yeah, it's also enlightening times, because you feel in your heart that we're here for a reason, and you and I are talking for a reason, and people are searching for answers, and we're still searching for answers. And so, you know, I find the times to be, one, very depressing as far as, you know, real life is concerned. But in my heart, I feel enlightened, and, you know, I feel like that, you know, I'm here to speak. And if there's anything that I can accomplish in this world, it's you know, that I was able to speak some of the truth. Well, I try to speak all the truth, but, you know, that some will hear what we all have to say.
Exactly. And that's all we can do. And so that's the message that I want anybody that cares what my opinion is on this, is that we have an obligation. If you're listening now yourself, then you're interested and you're part of this. You're here for a reason. You're listening for a reason, and you have to do something. Okay. So this is a ongoing crime against humanity. These leaders must be punished. Leaders that are closing down their civilization and destroying lives and through wearing masks and the mental health issues they're creating for children with this mask and social distancing, in addition to the fact that these masks long-term create irreversible brain damage, and then the elderly that are being trapped in nursing homes that have no way to even speak to their families because there's an invisible disease that is presenting a barrier for them. These leaders should be tried, and then a Nuremberg-style executions can begin, because these people now have put themselves in a position of liability for which there is no way back. If you understand that and know what that means historically, that means that they can't stop. This is not going to end. It's not going away. They're going forward, or they're going to the gallows. And it is up to us to stand up to this, for each and every one of you to say no more masks. Making a child wear a mask is child abuse. There's no other way to look at it. Causing a child to be afraid of something that doesn't exist, can't be touched, has no symptoms, is basically mental illness. And we're living in a time of communicable mental illness. Even though diseases have now recently been shown to be not communicable, and I urge people to get up to speed on what we are now knowing. These are things that were known in the 1800s and during the days of Antoine Beauchamp and his battle with lying Louis Pasteur, when they decided that it was either something called a germ theory or there's something called a terrain theory. Beauchamp was convinced that all diseases were caused by what he said was the terrain. That means you're either standing in the presence of some poison, or, as he rightly said, you caused yourself to have disease through the actions that you took, the foods that you ate, the things and places that you visited, etc. And that is now being shown by many, many brave guys and girls, women and men who are speaking out online about the new death of the so-called germ theory. And I recommend people pick up books like The Invisible Rainbow, which talks about what really happened during the Spanish flu, a flu that was seen around the world in a matter of months, in a time period when it took a matter of months just to travel a few thousand miles in any kind of conventional transportation. And also the book called Virus Mania, where they dispel the myth of HIV and AIDS. And they then can correlate people like Fauci, whose first fraud was involved with creating the idea of an HIV virus and then helping others patent the so-called virus so that they could then later reap benefits from the vaccines that were created. There's a book called What Really Makes You Ill by Don Lester and David Parker. This is fantastic, 800-page book, doing amazing research and actually discovering what is the cause of real diseases, and not diseases caused by a medical system that has been corrupted to produce disease as a model of profitability. And so we're stuck in a very, very dangerous time period. We can go forward and stand up and push back, or we can let them continue with this mockery of science and the destruction of children and the downsizing of especially white European populations to the point where then we are stuck with some sort of enslavement that represents, you know, maybe characters out of H.G. Wells's Time Machine. And that's the two choices. They've shown us the Hunger Games. That's part of what we're seeing. This is predictive programming. They're telling you straight up, if you want this sort of thing, look around. Here it is. But if you can recognize the fact that they're telling you up front what's coming, we should be able to do something about it before it gets here. And I think that You know, everyone has an obligation to themselves, to their history, to their families, and their little children to stand up no matter what it costs. I mean, if we end up going to jail, so what? This is the last great battle. Stephanie, please tell me some final comments that you have to say.
Well, what you just said was extremely brilliant and totally honest, and I agree with you. And, you know, in order for us to decide, you know, what is happening in America, first we have to examine all the evidence. And in order to examine the evidence, we have to talk about the evidence, no matter how uncomfortable it is. And that's what we're facing with the election, is another deception. And so, you know, I do want people to examine the evidence. I would like to quickly just say that James Fetzer is putting on a false flag and conspiracies virtual conference, and it's going to be December 5th and 6th. There's many great speakers. I'm going to be one of the speakers there as well, giving more information, examining evidence. So visit falseflagconspiracies2020.com, and thank you for having me on.
Thank you for being on, and thank you, Power Hour, for having me on.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.